When I was a young lad growing up, I liked to watch a lot of cartoons. And if you are also a fan of the medium, you may be familiar with the characters of Dudley Do-Right and his villainous counterpart, Snidely Whiplash, who is always in his iconic dark clothing and his twisty little mustache, and would often, the opening credit scene even had him tying up Nell and putting her on the railroad tracks for reasons that I'm, to this day, not really clear why. And the reason I bring up Dudley Do-Right and more particularly Snidely Whiplash is that I think it's easy for us in hearing our gospel passage this morning to flatten this story, and in particular the religious leader of the synagogue, into this two-dimensional villain, a mustache-twirling Snidely Whiplash of his day, wielding his Jewish faith callously ready to leave this poor woman on the railroad tracks of her affliction. But Luke reminds us that Jesus is not seeking to break from the Jewish tradition of which he is a part. This is not Jesus seeking to say that the Jewish faith is somehow wrong and here is the new way we're to understand things. Jesus' own response in this gospel passage grounds his response of compassion to this woman in the way in which God is continually seen to intercede on behalf of his children, connecting it to the way in which God freed the Israelites, about how God is continually lifting God's people out of bondage, invoking again the faithfulness of God's promise to Abraham for Abraham's descendants, saying, "This is a daughter of Abraham. Does not she deserve to find release and freedom from her bondage on this Sabbath day?" Jesus' response is not to invalidate the faith of which he is a part, but rather to reframe how the religious leader, the crowds, and we today are to understand the will of God revealed through the Scriptures. And so perhaps a more faithful reading of this passage, a more faithful understanding of this religious leader's words, is to hear his words as his efforts to be faithful. He knew the laws: to love the Lord your God, to obey God's commandments, to do no labor on the Sabbath. And our text doesn't tell us that the religious leader desired for this woman to be in this state of unwellness, to be in bondage of this spirit of affliction. It's not that he wants that for her, desires that for her, and thinks that that is what is right. But his spiritual calculus, his desire to do what he understands as right and proper, leads him to say, "This is not right. This is not the way that things ought be done." The religious leader's story of who God is and what God desires has him bound as surely as that spirit of affliction has bound that woman. But Jesus enters into both of their midst, enters into this scene to reveal God's intention that the Sabbath be a day of release, to speak against forms of faithful adherence to the letter of the law that binds a person from doing good to someone in need in their midst. Christ relieves the woman of the spirit afflicting her so that she might experience a restoration of body and soul and community. And in doing so, he reveals God's power in action, declaring that the intention of the Sabbath is freedom for humanity, freedom from the strain under which people labor, and freedom from the spirits and forces that oppress us. Indeed, to do good and bring about healing and release is wholly appropriate for God's holy day. And so it's important for us to hear this message of release and freedom for this woman and for us in the Gospel of Luke this morning. But it's also important for us to not ignore the way that Jesus' words reveal that his ministry is also about opposing the kinds of thinking that separate people from the folks who are vulnerable and in need in their midst. And I'll admit, I find it hard to understand this religious leader's indignation, to kind of enter in to his way of thinking. But we certainly have our own modern examples, do we not, friends? Narratives, stories, justifications that folks in our society offer to us that allow us or encourage us to ignore the needs and the suffering of people in our midst. That tell us that, like the snidely whiplashes of our hearts, that even though we might see these people bound and on the railroad tracks of hardship and oppression, addiction or persecution, that they give us reasons for ignoring it, to say, well, you didn't put her on those railroad tracks, or that's, you know, this isn't the right and proper way for things to be done. It's not your place to do something about it. But as surely as Dudley Do-Right would rush to the scene to undo Snidely Whiplash's villainy, Jesus continues to speak into our world, into our hearts, and into the living word of Scripture, calling us to repent from the evil stories, the sins and barriers that separate us from the needs of others, that tell us to be confronted by the horrors of children being put in cages, or by folks who are trapped in cycles of addiction or poverty, of people who are bound by abusive relationships or systems, and to not turn away, but to respond, to act as God's hands and feet in this world, to bring about a compassionate response that lifts these children of God out of whatever the spirit of the situation that is afflicting them. This is the message of good news that Luke shares with us this morning, that reveals to us this reminder of Jesus showing us God's intention for humanity. How Jesus affirms the promise of God's goodness for all people, and not just the far-off promise that we see in Christ's resurrection of new life after this one, a life of wholeness and healing and wellness, but newness and healing and wellness here and today. For that woman, in the midst of this Sabbath day where all propriety said, work ought not be done, Jesus yet still enters in to bring her newness of life in that moment. Reveals how the goodness of God in this world is meant to continually expand our understandings of inclusion and acceptance and welcome. Shows us that the goodness of God, that God's promises, that God's grace is not bound or limited by the barriers and the rules and the opposition that we might set before them. Because the truth is, friends, that we are each of us, both the one in need and the one who stands in the way. Each of us desperately need to experience the freeing nature of God's grace in our own lives, and yet at the same time, can bind ourselves or others with trappings of our own making. And when we act to oppose others experiencing that freedom, when we fail to act, we're resisting God's impulse for us to do God's work in this world. But God, who Christ reveals, is faithful. God continues to show up, pulling us and others off of the train tracks and working against our efforts to immediately grab the rope and tie ourselves or someone else back up and throw them down there. So may you, children of God, live into your calling to be the body of Christ in our time. May your eyes be opened to the needs of people around you. May you be confronted by the vulnerabilities of this world that we live in, and may your hearts be stirred to action by the Holy Spirit at work in you, that you might be bearers of peace and compassion, of justice and healing, new life and freedom into all of the various broken situations of our world. Because the will and the ways of God is to desire freedom for humanity, freedom for all people, to rest from a life of constant labor, freedom from the spirits and forces of oppression that bind God's children. And so may you remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Amen.